Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. This evening being Tuesday, the 11th, July 2006, with another broadcast here, the Hour of the Time, and you're listening on Christian Media Network via AM and FM affiliates, satellite link, and internet feeds with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, if you'd like to contact the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website is hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number is 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, if you'd like to contact me directly, same as the phone, to share research, questions, comments, complaints, what have you, is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that we are listener-supported, and without your support, we cannot maintain our operation, and it's been lackluster of late, to say the least. You can support via donations outright, or better yet, donations for research materials. Although we have overhead to give you items for the donation, it's better because you get the information to make yourself a more proactive part in our fight for our freedoms, our constitutional government, our republic. We have a vast catalog at the Hot Shop. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and simply click on the main buttons, the Hot Shop, right there. We are having a tremendous sale that ends on the 26th. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm cutting it off. Last time, a lot of people partook in it last month to fill in gaps in their listening collection, to add series to their collection. And they a lot of input that they'd like it extended if I could. And I said, no, I'm going to end it on this date like I'd promised. But after reconsidering, and about a week and a half went by, I said, you know what, we'll go ahead and start it up again for a limited period. The 26th, Wednesday, it ends. And it won't go on like that again. I don't foresee it the whole rest of the year. 25% off all audios and videos. Unbelievable reduction. You can't use that in conjunction with other offers. I say that because I put up daily offers, not every day, but one day specials. Once or twice a week. I'm not going to announce it when I'm going to do it. I am going to put one up this week, though. That's all I'll say. As well as our specials for July. An immense amount of Bill's series' work, our and mine and Rob's series' preparedness items, DVDs. So a nice rounded selection for July, and those items are already reduced 40 to 60% off, because of course Hot Club always saves more. And that's the best consideration, is to join the Hot Club. By joining the Hot Club, a $40 a month pledge, you get reduced pricing on any item for your donation. You get special things, newsletters, offers that no one else gets. You get special treatment. Anytime a Hot Club member calls me with some request, if it's feasible and I can handle it, it happens. And even if it's just for them, not even the rest of the club. You also get, on gratis, and our appreciation for your continuing level support to us, and you can support at higher levels, but we ask 40 minimum. You get at the end of the month, if you want it, some people don't, an MP3 of the entire month's broadcast. That value alone, let's say an average of 21 broadcasts a month, at the regular rate, that'd be like $126. Because I'm doing the more recent shows at only $6 an episode versus 10. Postage paid, of course. So $126, let's say, for 21 episodes or your $40 donation. Plus reduced pricing on everything else and special offers. It gives us a stable platform to work from for our budgeting, our projects, our expansion. That's what we need to do is expand any more, even more, and I'll tell you why. We are on to some more stuff now here at the Hour of the Time that is mind-boggling. It's caught an incredible amount of national attention. People and groups that and politicians that thought they were up on this stuff, and we've dug out the skeletons of the corrupt socialist left on this land issue and really given it to them. If you missed yesterday morning's interview on Frank Whalen's Frankly Speaking, where I was his guest, you missed one hell of a show. And I want to thank Frank, as I did in person, but openly here on our show as well, for having me on, because his ego doesn't get in the way of getting the critical information out there. And he invited me on as a guest because it's important. This is not one little area, one part of one state. This is a national policy of land seizure and closure. Your land from you. It is part and in conjunction with the FTAA, North American Union, SPP, NAFTA, GATT, Rio de Janeiro, and Biosphere Treaties. Plain and simple, completely funded by leftist socialist front groups. Proven by me. And we're going to get into that in tonight's broadcast. If you want some hardcore proof to hit your politicians with at state level, county, all levels, and I'm going to let you know what we've already done just since Thursday night around here. So, again, no excuses as to what you can do as well. And we're willing to help, but what you can do as well on your own and how big something can become if you work on it. And this is in the midst of running this whole operation, so don't tell me a thing about time as well. So I'll get into all that and tell you what amazing strides we've made just since yesterday morning's interview on Frank Whalen. Again, here at the Hour of the Time on Christian Media Network with your host, Doyle Shamley. Be prepared to write, ladies and gentlemen. I've got some stuff for you that's mind-boggling. I'm going to get my notes. I have a vast amount of them today printed out and on the screen here in a little better order during this 2-minute musical break, and then we're going to get into it. So here we go.
Came in last night at 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in, so move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Dog's moving in. She's changed the lock on our front door. My door key don't fit no more. So get it on over.
Move it on over.
Scoot it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, skinny dog, cause the fat dog's moving in. This dog house here is mighty small, but it's better than no house at all. So ease it on over. Drag it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, old dog, cause a new dog's moving in. So pack it on over.
Move it on over.
Tote it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, nice dog, cause a mad dog's moving in. She warned me once, she warned me twice, but I don't take no one's advice. So scratch it on over.
Move it on over.
Shake it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, short dog, cause a tall dog's moving in. Thank you. a mad dog moving in. Remember, pup, before you whine, that side yours and this side mine. So shove it on over,
move it on over,
sweep it on over,
move it on over,
move over, cold dog, cause a hot dog moving in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are again, the Hour of the Time on Christian Media Network, Tuesday the 11th, July 2006. From the broadcast here with Doyle Shamley, your host in Eager, Arizona. Now again, my personal email if you want to contact me to share research, questions, comments, complaints, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, luckily, I have my notebooks here in front of me because I have some phone repairs going on right now, and I don't have access to the internet. They're reconfiguring my lines. I knew this; they were going to. I asked them to, and they're doing it now, so I don't have internet during this broadcast, but that's okay, because I have my printed, highlighted set here to use with these bureaucrats and politicians in our meeting. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Here is how it happened. Last Thursday night, I went to the meeting, got home, saw the huge disparity and the massive infringement upon our rights and our properties and our land in this country, and went to work. I wrote the news exclusive that went out, of course, first to those who asked to be on our private mailing list, and so they got it before the website was posted. And how it all came about is I immediately went to work. Now, amongst the local populace, business owners, ranchers, loggers, everyday people, what have you. Everywhere I went on Friday after the meeting was, well, I got aged real quickly because young men in their 20s getting out in the world and jobs and stuff and established and families that were at the meeting were shaking my hand and calling me sir. So I added about 30 years to my age Thursday night and Friday, but that's okay. But they were amazed at how much research we had already, not knowing the meeting we were walking into. And then there was a consensus everywhere I went that we need to form a working group, committee, if you will. Citizens, not bureaucrats, not lawyers, none of that, although we've been offered that as well, to fight this. Because it is a national fight for everyone's inherent right to private property ownership. This will set precedents the same way as the National Forest Lands Protection Act did in 1976 and the executive order under Milton, Nixon that I talked about yesterday from 1972. If it's allowed to. Now, these things have been defeated time and time again. This needs to go national. That's what our group has done. By Saturday, we already had secured the town council chambers, the same place this other meeting was at for our meeting, which is tomorrow evening. So tomorrow evening, I will have to pre-record and post that show up. It'll be new material, but I won't be live per se. And our meeting, we're outlining our name and organizing our affiliations. Because starting Friday, because really nothing could be done Thursday night, we have already formed groups and people in charge of various aspects of functions, map gathering, etc. We have public relations, which I'm running, and contacts to political offices, which I'm running in media. That's my facet of it. It's in a drawing roads that aren't on their Forest Service maps like they're doing across the country. I'm letting the loggers, the guys that built these roads, the ranchers, the cattle, the retired foresters from days gone by, those people, the landowners, fill in those maps. Now, we immediately began establishing ourselves, I did, two other groups. We have had a wonderful turnout so far. We're already in aligned with 20 groups around the nation. Most of them national groups, some of them worldwide groups with huge memberships that are willing to take a stand on this issue. Two of the groups already have categorically addressed this very issue on their websites, major foundations. with legal departments, etc. This is so we can pool our efforts, our resources, our membership. Because with these various alliances to groups at county level and state level, some people have contacted me because the story and interviews, others are organizations that I've worked with in the past. We already have a consensus and umbrella of over 20 groups with a membership of over a million members. We have also contacted several political offices and brought this issue to the forefront. I have spoken last evening to the state speaker of the House in Arizona and this morning to the state speaker of the House personally, not as aides, not a machine, to them about this issue. They were amazed to how much we've already dug up and organized compared to what his staff has been able to since he first heard about this last Thursday from us. Congressional offices at federal level. Already two offices ready to send liaisons not only to our meetings but to the Forest Service meetings to back us up on this. We have decided as a group that there will be no compromise on this issue. There will only be victory. These rules will be overturned. That's all there is to it. It will be overturned. There will not be forest and road closures. This will stop. And the reason we're going to stop it is because we're going to make it a national issue with several groups in our umbrella, networking, etc., as well as on the floor of Congress inquiries into this supposed rulemaking, not laws, which we've discussed extensively. Because as I had to remind the Forest Service and even aides in two offices already of federal congressmen, I won't name their names because they probably didn't know their aides were this ill-attuned to the Constitution, that all legislature of this sort falls directly under the U.S. Constitution. It has to originate not in the executive, not in a bureaucratic department, not in an agency, not in an administration, not in a memo, directive, or rule. It has to originate with the legislature, being Congress and Senate. And then only an act of Congress assembled, not an act of Congress, is law. And they admitted it. They know it. This does not carry the force of law. It's de jure law, color of law, and we will not let it stand. And we're not going to stop with just this one issue. This is going to open up a can of worms nationally on property and private property rights. I've already been asked by a state senator's office, am I willing and able to go to Washington to testify on the floor of Congress, and I agreed to, if need be, in the coming weeks. Now, of course, it's not going to interrupt the conference. They're just going to have to wait. But I will, if need be. I'm prepared. And he agreed that I probably know more about the Constitution lawmaking process than most of his cohorts sitting in the Capitol. He said it was refreshing, because he's a very elderly gentleman, to see people out there realizing what we have lost and fighting to get it back. Because he feels sometimes that the struggle is fruitless or hopeless. And I agree. Yeah, it does seem that way sometimes. That doesn't mean you roll over and die or die like a badger in your hole. You go down fighting. And that's exactly what we're going to do. There is going to be no compromise on this issue. No ifs, ands, or buts. We're not going to say, oh, well, here's a map of roads, and for every three we show you that exist right now, you can keep one open. No. They're not only going to keep them all open, roads they've currently closed illegally. I've got the documented proof now that I needed. They're going to reopen those and just shut this whole rule down. Rule, and that's exactly what it is, travel management rule. Travel management rule. Just the title reeks of socialism. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you how this works. I didn't get to fully get into it on Frank's show because, again, he's unfortunately on a network that subjects him to a mass amount of commercials. So every time you get a thought going, you have to stop for a commercial. And then when you come back, it's hard to reiterate where you were at. But here's how it works. The Forest Service looked at 11 individual entities study, core groups, to establish this supposed rule. Let me tell you about these groups. These groups, I'm going to list them right now, in fact, for you. The Arizona OHV Inventory Partnership. And one of their head honchos from around the state was the one who stood up in the meeting here defending the district chief of Arizona that was here. I knew right then, as well as the audience, because he was quite just outright confronted, whose side are you on, the leftist or the citizens? He finally shut up. They have worried about their one single interest thing and allowed themselves to be pawns of the socialist to help prove this supposed rule that needed to take place. California Off-Highway Vehicle Stakeholders Roundtable, Caribou Targhee Travel Management Collaborative Learning Workshop, Daniel Boone National Forest Cromer Ridge Management, that's another one, Hopkins Everett Reservoir Trail System, the Lewis and Clark Big Snowy's Travel Management Plan, Interagency Working Group of Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota, the Forest Plan Revision of the Wichita National Forest, the Perry Stream Vehicle Trails, Southeast Idaho Trail System, and the Wenatchee National Forest Vehicle Trails. Let me tell you something. They have not only collaborated with the socialist enemy, but they've helped cut everyone else's throat, because nowhere in there do they bring up the real issues. Private property rights, lack of federal jurisdiction, outright just un-American, unconstitutional. They haven't worried about fire prevention, access for search and rescue and emergency personnel. They haven't worried about hunters, ranchers, cattle, grazers, bird watchers. They haven't worried about the environmentalists. They have a right to travel that forest too. I'm not going to deny them that right, even though they've made us an enemy. Try to deny us all their rights. I'm not like that. Let me tell you how this is done. These things are funded by front groups, leftist socialist front groups. Now, these various groups, and I have a whole plethora of names, are such like the Morris K. Udall Foundation. That's just one in particular. A really bad deal. Environmental Conflict Resolution, the U.S. Institute, was another institute. Now, this goes on and on. Now, these institutes and these socialist names that they use for them, EPA Stakeholder Involvement Group, the Internal Association for Public Participation, these are all leftist think tank groups. Now, you follow the money trail and the ownership trail. Guess what I find? After looking in the Federal Register, and I already possess it physically in my possession to expose at this meeting tomorrow evening, and with the Forest Service, where, by the way, we have full support of these elected officials at this point, and we can announce that openly, they said, on the floor of both meetings, our private one and the Forest Service round two with the socialist. From the Federal Register, Part 4, 36 CFR, it's Parts 212, 251, 261, and 295 in specific. When you go in there, after they wrote that, I believe that I have 29 pages of that, they went on to define under this new rule how what they think is law is going to be read. Now, this is an analysis. It's a detailed section-by-section analysis of the USDA Forest Service Rule-Travel Management. Now, this falls under 36 CFR again, they think. It does, as far as a bookkeeping sense, but not as a law. Now, let me tell you something. What they have here is, imagine the section in the left column. Like, it's all 36 CFR where they've submitted this so-called evidence. But then you have under that the specific section 212.1, definitions. Then the next one, final rule reads. Not final law, mind you, final rule reads. Then the next column, executive orders, old regulations. Then the third column, analysis. Okay. Let me give you something, for example. In final rule reads, road, a motor vehicle route over 50 inches wide. 50 inches is now a road, ladies and gentlemen. That's the size for cattle grazing, mountain biking, motorized four-wheeling, smaller than a Jeep trail. Hiking trails I've been on are 50 inches wide in popular areas. That's now a road. See the doublespeak being used here? Redefining terms in legalese. Their own wording and analysis says this is a significant modification of the definition from the road management strategy, which was finalized in 2001. See, they finalized this and keep referring to this, but then they went through afterwards and changed the legal meaning of their terms. It continues to be a problematic definition because it is impossible to distinguish between a road and a trail on the ground, since everything very wide can be designated as a trail on paper, even if it looks like and has many of the same effects of a road on the ground. Now, just to give you an example, now, let me tell you where it opens up. When you follow the money trail and what leftist socialist groups have backed this study of a national land grab and erosion of not only our public lands and our rights as Americans, but a major attack towards private property ownership, because with these roads cut off, you may not, driving through the national forest to reach your private property, may not be able to get through. That's not an exaggeration. It's already happened. A few people have been able to take it to the Supreme Court and win, but not every guy can do that. So we're going to ensure that every guy doesn't have to do that anymore. Now, the new final rule changes, I'm quoting, the new final rule changes numerous categories and the results are very confusing. In the future, we'll be able to find a separate glossary and analysis of the new Forest Service road terminology at wildlandscpr.org. That's wildlands, plural, wildlandscpr.org. Let me tell you something. You go there to wildlandscpr.org, another front leftist organization. The United States Forest Service, under the United States Department of Agriculture, in the Department of Interior, has not even defined the legal definitions for this rule. They have hired it out to a third-party leftist front organization, wildlandscpr.org, and in there you see where funding starts going around. You will find mention, ladies and gentlemen, if you do your research, and this is old, there's a wonderful book written about this already that I have on the way. My friend has used it extensively to help me with research. He got me my own personal copy being shipped to me. It's a wonderful work on the foundations and grants of the leftist organizations and how powerful they are in this country. Now, when you go to this particular site and several other sites of these leftist front groups, you're going to find out some amazing things. There is a channel that's highly organized in the leftist front, the socialists out there, who would strip you of your freedoms and rights. One of the channels they go through is 444S. 444S. Type that into your search bar on the internet and find out what you get. You're not going to get 444S. It's going to take you to the EGA.org. Environmental Grant Makers Association. And this is all in my head because I told you I don't have internet, so I may make a mistake here, but I'll try not to. When you go to the Environmental Grant Makers Association, this is one of the leftist clearinghouses for money and power. They have been around for years. They're in cahoots with some of the major socialist real estate organizations, including the one owned by Feinstein and her husband out of the Bay Area, San Francisco, California, to buy up massive swaths of land and close it to the government, and then to settle with the government when they landlock other lands by saying, well, we'll open up this one little piece if you give us the next four sections, a section being 640 acres. See how they do this? The Dianne Feinstein front groups, the Barbara Streisand trust funds, these groups work through money clearinghouses to keep their names not so much on the front of the money, see? What they do is they don't have the time or gumption, or maybe don't want the public exposure of directly aligning with outright leftist, socialist, anti-constitutional anti-American groups. They know where their money's going, though, and they just don't have the time. With the amounts of money that we're talking about here, even writing checks at $10,000 a piece all day, and where do I mail it, who do I make it out to, when do you need it, what's it for, let me let my bookkeeper know, all this, imagine doing that all day long with the amounts of money we're talking about, it would be impossible to get done on some of these individual bases. So what they do is they give massive amounts to money through socialist front organizations like this 444S organization. That's how it's referred to in their little secret talk amongst each other. 444S organization. Just type in 444S into your search bar and hit enter. It's going to immediately take you to EGA.org, like I say, Environmental Grant Makers Association. These guys and what they do is they have these massive, massive hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars at their disposal to disperse. And what they do is when you're a leftist or a socialist or anti-constitutional or anti-land rights or anti-gun or anti-vehicles or anti-hiking or anti-logging or anti-cattle, anti-building, you go to these clearinghouses and you apply for grants. Then they disperse the grants to fund the projects. Then they are not actually doing the project either. Neither is the individual who gave them the money. This keeps the individual kind of off the map, kind of a blip on the radar, but not noticeable. Maybe a little cloud cover, if you will. The organization, it's just a funneling house, right? No biggie. It's just organizing people and causes with money. Doesn't sound too bad, right? It's bad when it's all socialist leftist. And it would be bad if it was all so-called extreme right. It's bad if it's anti-constitutional, anti-American, anti-republic, anti-freedom. That's what makes it bad. Now, these clearinghouses, they allocate funds in the form of grants. Numerous grants just in the $3,000 to $5,000 range. But it's enough because the massive quantities that they have, besides intensive large sums, the massive quantities of money that they have allow that to let two or three people sitting in their back room with internet access. $5,000 is a heck of a boon. I'd love to have a $5,000 donation right now to Hour of the Time. We could use it for new equipment. What it lets people do, though, is it lets these leftists and socialists form hundreds and hundreds of front groups. It's a typical socialist sale tactic. Robert Welch exposed this extensively in the early 1950s, prior to forming any organization. Foundations, their tax-free status, their grant-making abilities is one of the biggest detriments and threats to our freedoms. They're as powerful as the State Department selling us out. Now then, these front groups, these socialist sales, it is a party, Communist Party tactic developed by them to confront Republicanism worldwide, and he wrote it. Then what they do, a clearinghouse like 444S organization, which is really Environmental Grant Makers Association, then disperses literally billions of dollars out in $3,000 to $5,000 increments. Not always that small, but generally. Then what happens? Think about it. Me and old Joe down the street, we say, man, we got this $5,000 thing and I really hate them loggers. So we're going to start up a group. Joe and Doyle's Anti-Logging Coalition of the Meadows or something of Arizona. Make it a nice big long title. You go and buy a website domain for $8.95 a year with 50 gigs space, a bunch of pages and a bunch of clip art ready to paste in. In one night, we now have an organization that's funded. Then we begin the concerted effort networking through analysis of reports like these front groups, financial organizations like the 444S organizations, most notably the EGA.org, Environmental Grant Makers Association, and we network and we, on a concerted effort, attack issues that strip Americans of their freedoms, strip our republic and our constitution of its powers. What it appears to be to the politician, to the news media, to the average Joe on the street, that there is millions of people with thousands of groups upset over this issue, and we better change it. We better go with what they say. When in reality, there are thousands and thousands of groups with $3,000 to $5,000 grants sitting in their living room, their college dorms, their library. Some of them don't even own their own equipment. They use a public access console at like a library or something to do this. The really cheap ones, cheapskates, only even buy their own computer to start these leftist socialist organizations. It gives the appearance that the majority of the American people, because of these thousands and thousands of groups concentrating on various topics and moving very, very liquid, flowing very quickly with each other through chat rooms, emails, networking to attack this issue. And when you ruin it and strip some more of the Constitution, strip some more of our freedoms from the majority of the American public, then you move on to the next one and the next one. Then it always appears and you start up a new front group. You get a $3,000 to $5,000 grant, the typical amount. You start up a new website, $8.95 a year, 50 gigs storage space, 4 or 5 pages, clip art backgrounds, titles, banners, buttons. You get the gist. It appears that it's a monster of the American population wanting this issue when it's not. This is what I have spoken about since day one. With Bill, before I ever was on the air with him, with Bill when I moved here to Eager, before I was ever the air on him, working on research, this is one of the critical components of socialist strategy, is socialist sales and front groups. Oftentimes, even single issue groups. The internet's only made it easier, because you don't have to come up with business cards and letterhead and all this whatsoever now. You quickly start up a website, $8.95, you got the domain for a year, then you let it go away or just outright close it and start the next one. You can work incredibly fast on areas that you want to target to strip us of our freedoms. This is how it works. The grant-making abilities in this country and foundations are one of the biggest threats. If you don't believe me, remember when I had on the air Stephen Jacobson of Wake Up America and Mind Control in America fame, an excellent researcher. He had actual recorded quotes from some of the most powerful people in this country saying that the power of grant making and foundations and front groups is the most powerful entity in America. This is how this got started. So that might make a person say, well, God, how are you going to defeat that, Doyle? How are you and these groups all over going to defeat it? Because we don't need to work in the dark. We don't need to work with special little socialist grants. We're going to work on common sense and appeal and American freedom and spirit. The American dream of prosperity, when it comes down to it, is really rooted in our ability to use our free, at the time freer when it was written in the last century and just 50 years ago even, our free enterprise system, our Republican system of government, to establish our niche, our little corner of the country, our contribution, and to work the land, to work the resources, to work the manufacturing capabilities, our infrastructure networks, the highways to get goods quicker there, and telecommunications. The greatness of America's ingenuity. That's really what the American dream is based on. And being able to do that, and as you get later on in life, owning your company and kicking back, teaching your children either to stay in that if that's their wish or your family's wish, to expand on and know these skills, to go out and make their little part of the country, and to be prosperous, to own lands, to own your rights as an individual, to truly have ownership over your freedoms. That is what American prosperity is about, and that is what these socialist leftist groups hate. Most of them never could figure out how to do anything in their life. So, starting these little front socialist groups to take away other people's freedom makes them feel better about themselves, because usually they're failures. And those are harsh words to anybody, but it's the truth. So, misery enjoys company, so we're going to make everybody else fail, and we can all be in the same socialist third world classification quagmire, economically, physically, privately, legally, equally, in the same swamp and cesspool. They can't strive for good deeds and actions and production, so we'll bring everybody else down around us. That is what it comes down to. The way we're going to win is because most people, though, in reality, the bulk of people, don't really think that way, but they've been convinced to think that, well, the government can't be wrong. Well, this is the United States Forest Service. Heck, look at, they're quoting CFR 36, Section 212.1, in the Federal Register, executive orders. It must be official. No, it's not. It's not law. And it can be defeated because it cannot stand the test of light and truth. I guarantee you that our efforts are going to bring this to light nationwide. And if it needs to be a key aspect of the hour of the time now, much more coverage of private property rights, private ownership, federal land grabs, and so be it. It's an incredibly important issue, and maybe needs to be one of the forefronts and maybe the fortes and expertises of the hour of the time. Because just all of this done, ladies and gentlemen, since Friday morning, and between now and then, it has been shopping, cooking meals, homeschooling, mowing lawns, pulling weeds, very little, but some relaxation time, hour of the time, research, broadcast, filling orders, barbecues for one dinner, one evening, out back in the yard, nothing extravagant anywhere. So don't tell me laundry. Don't tell me that you can't do it. You just got to have the gumption. Now, like I say, the executive order, 11644, 1972, has nothing to do with what's going on today. The reason these front groups and these administrations and agencies do this is the Forest Service Chief Bosworth, that socialist-appointed scumbag, has no right to make law, and he knows that. His legal counsel made sure that he knows, and that is why he called it a rule. Now, this Bosworth, who is just a socialist piece of crap, nothing else can be said about it. I don't care if he takes offense. Sue me. Everybody else has. He's out of Washington, D.C. He's an appointed head of an administration under an agency, under a department. And these foundations work the same way. The Morris K. Udall Foundation, along with the Environmental Conflict Resolution Foundation and Study, are a congressionally formed institute under the EPA. Because of that, they are appointed their chairman, their board of directors, their goals and mission by administrators, and specifically the executive branch. This is congressional fact. Look it up if you don't believe me. Conflict Resolution, Environmental Conflict Resolution Institute is just one of them. Actually, it's U.S. Institute for Environmental Conflict Resolution. Also, in conjunction with the Morris K. Udall Foundation. See how they are tied together, but they split off on many different directions? They have executive department status and appointees, because they're socialist. So George Bush may say he's all for ranching and cattle and logging, and I remember when he first got in office, the loggers and rural people celebrating here after 8 years of Clinton that we're going to get our livelihoods back. We're going to thin this forest so it doesn't get burned down, which, by the way, the highest record of acres lost in the history of the United States to forest fires was 2005, last year, under the Bush administration and these same Mr. Bosworth from the Forest Service. So don't tell me what expert you are, and when you're appointing leftist socialist groups, don't tell me what you're for. The proofs in following the money trail. Now, this is how they get their political inroads, and that's why with their legal staff, they don't call it the travel management law because it won't take or stand up to our litmus test, hence our no compromise stand and agenda, and the other organizations have agreed. Their chief executive officer for Klamath Basin Crisis Organization, she contacted me last night, astounded at what I've already done, and said they thought they were all alone in this fight. And there's a whole story in itself, the Klamath Basin. If you look how that got raped in the Tule Lake areas, horrendous destruction of American economy, families, livelihoods, private property rights, public land rights. They said it was refreshing to see and have lent me all their organization's assets, legal research, documentation, membership to this fight. And we're going to take it in our no compromise stance, and it will be open to congressional inquiry. It will be, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you why. We are working, and you know, this came up to me just today because it was mentioned by a political office that called me today that I talked to yesterday because of the timing. They said, you've got yourself with your foot majorly in the door. This is a major political year, and Republicans are really sweating control of the House and Senate. These guys are going to have to bring it up to congressional inquiry. Number one, we won't settle for anything less. And number two, the reason it has to be, because most of them are megalomaniacs. And through our research, and we proved to them, well, heck, man, your powerful office was subverted by this little socialist pencil pusher, Bosworth. He subverted your office, your power, Mr. Congressman, Mr. Senator. I don't know why he'd do it. Ask him. His name's Chief Del Bosworth. He can be reached right in Washington. He circumvented your right to be the legislature, the person to represent your constituents, your state, the person to look good in front of C-SPAN. He circumvented all that, Mr. Congressman. And well, since he seems to be the one making the law, I guess you don't need any support. There's no reason to really reelect you, is there? It works, ladies and gentlemen. I personally have proved it in the past. The people who aren't reelected throughout California because of their leftist stands and organizations that we formed to fight back. You have to do this, ladies and gentlemen. It's the only way you can beat these people. When it gets into congressional inquiry, even if it's just two or three congressmen talking about it on the floor, no one else in attendance, it's documented. Now it really counts in the Federal Register. And when they quickly surmise and show that, well, this has no basis in law, it's unenforceable. There is no jurisdiction. Especially when I show them where the Forest Service and congressional testimony just 2 years ago, and in 2002 as well, said, the chief forester of the nation said, the Forest Service has no jurisdiction to dictate travel, right-of-ways, or roads anywhere in this country, because he was cornered and had to admit it. It's an issue of the legislature and of the states. And hence, because it was not directly dictated and authorized by the Constitution to the federal legislature, it is this right retained to the states and the people first, the states next, respectively. They can't have it. Get out. Either the Forest Service will buckle, say we made a grave error here, we need to rethink this process, or they'll outright get slammed. And like I say, a couple guys on the floor is all it takes. Chatting about it, standing at the podium, the speaker giving him the floor, C-SPAN, you've seen it many times over and over, no one else in attendance. That's all it takes. Now, these leftist front groups, of course, are going to step up the heat. I've already had threats today. They finally discovered us. Doesn't take them long either to work. But see how they work? I'm working for everybody's freedoms. For America. Prosperity for our posterity. And they want to make physical threats. I want them to do it. Not through the phone or email. I dare them to do it face to face to me. Come catch me grocery shopping or going to the post office. Find out what happens then when I clean your plow. See, but they don't have the guts. The email addresses, I don't even reply to them anymore. But see how quickly they've responded to our national exposure on the radio and on the internet and with through other groups that we're working with already since Friday morning last week to today, Tuesday. The 7th to the 11th, they've already targeted me. You know what? I don't call on trouble. But if you bring it on to me, you better watch out. You better watch out. And that's the attitude you people out there that love our freedoms, love this country, this republic, want your children to grow up in a freer country, a more prosperous country than you had. And that's how it should be, constantly striving for improvement in our personal lives, our economic stations in life, our education, our livelihoods, our owners, what we own. Our freedoms should always be under a constant mode of improvement. That's a stance you have to take too. It has to be a no-compromise fight. No, we will not accept this. Want 10% of what I need in exchange to having to receive 90% of the rules that you want over us? No. You will stop. And you will stop here. Ladies and gentlemen, you better get involved. This is going to be a big one. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not kidding. It's going to get big. The state information senator's office from Arizona called me today as well, to discuss our calendars, to send representatives. They were unaware of most of the text, and they themselves admitted too, as well as politicians' aides and offices. They were unaware of half of this, and they were amazed at the research we've already done and put together. And said it's amazing because it's unbiased research as well. They commented on that specifically. They said you've got nothing to gain in it. You don't own a corporation that's going to get massive land allocations out of this. You're not going to get a bunch of water rights for your farm. Why are you doing it? I said, I'm doing it for my country. That's why. And my countrymen. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not noble. I'm no saint. But you know what? It's not all about the money. Principles are more important. Now, I'm going to go to a quick musical break. I know, granted, it's almost into the show, but a quick musical break, and then we will finish up tonight's broadcast. And I highly suggest that all of you out there listening, and all of you that find out about this from a friend, purchase this broadcast at the incredibly cheap postage paid donation price of $6 and get the word around and use this broadcast as a key educational tool to you and your friends. And at the same time, support our efforts for all freedoms for all people in this country, which extends around the world by default. This is an excellent broadcast for education of how foundations work with an example, a perfect naming of names, outright examples, and outright rules that are confronting us right now. Not theory, not generalities. Now, quick musical break here, and I'll be right back.
Well, I left my home down on the rural route. I told my pa I'm going stepping out and get the honky-tonk blues. Yeah, the honky-tonk blues. honky-tonk blues. Well, I went to a dance, I wore out my shoes. Woke up this morning wishing I could lose them jumping honky-tonk blues. Yeah, the honky-tonk blues. Oh, Lord, I got 'em. I got the honky-tonk blues.
Again here, Doyle Shamley, your host with the Hour of the Time this evening, Tuesday the 11th, July 2006. And ladies and gentlemen, remember we are listener supported, and without your support we cannot maintain our operation on the air, the internet, satellites, electricity, phone bills, server fees, paper, ink, gas, postage, you get the gist. Keep that in mind, and remember, take advantage of our special summer sales going on right now, because when they end. And don't forget about the conference this week. And I hope you get to hear me live. And you're going to get to hear it on other broadcasts as well. We have some major announcements about some cool stuff that's going to be debuted at our conference in the form of research. Never before done. That's no exaggeration. And if you're not there, you're not going to be there for the debut and the inside scoop, as well as the bonuses that you're going to get as attendees that no one else is going to get. No one else is going to get. That right there is reason enough. Based on our integrity and years of flawless research, that right there is enough to attend. Let alone the scenery, let alone the friendship, let alone the other research tools. And we've just added on an expert in the field of writing letters to, in response to, federal agencies. And they have inquire in you about anything, building permits, land ownership issues, tax issues, codes, how to write and respond to them correctly to defend your rights and actually gain them back, those that you've lost, in the correct manner by drawing out of them the fact that they don't have anything to stand on. He has now just been added to the conference today. A wonderful researcher with over 50 years under his belt in this field, and a go-getter coming in person to teach the attendees these skills and important skills in this litigious lack of freedom society nowadays, filled with socialist leftist bureaucrats subverting our country. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to remind you that we're on Monday through Fridays here on Christian Media Network. And you need to tune in every day and tell your friends about us. Tell them about the website, hourofthetime.com. And don't forget my personal contact information, 928-333-2942, as well as my personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And I'll be doing some more joint ventures like Frank Whalen coming up. It's going to be a busy month leading up to the conference, and I'm happy with it. We are going to make some strides for all our freedoms, and no ifs, ands, or buts. I want to go to music and thank all of you for tuning in. I hope everyone has a safe and a studious evening, and tomorrow be sure to tune in for another broadcast here on Christian Media of the Hour of the Time.
Goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go, me oh my oh. Me gotta go, pull the P-Road down the bayou. My Yvonne, the sweetest one, me oh my oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Jambalaya, crawfish pie, and a filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see Mama Shazamio. Pick it up, fill fruit jar, and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Knows the place is buzzing. Kinfolk come to see Yvonne by the dozen. Dress in style and go hog wild, me oh my oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Jambalaya, a crawfish pie, and a filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see Mama Shazamio. Pick guitar, fill fruit jar, and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.